This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by iFixit. You've seen their teardowns all over the internet. The free repair guide for everything and the ultimate marketplace for electronic tools and parts. For $5 off your purchase of $10 or more, go to iFixit.com/TWiT and enter the code Know-How at checkout. Today on Know-How,
we've got a laptop, a cell phone, and a sneak peek at our CES preview.
It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballas here.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to be showing you some of the stuff that has impressed us so you can take it home and get impressed by yourself. That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't, but yeah. That's what's going to end up happening.
That's exactly what's happening. Now, folks, we're going to be honest with you. This actually is a pre-recording because we're not here.
I mean, what?
You think we're here, but we're not here.
What you are seeing is an illusion.
This is like time travel because we are actually, right now, at this very moment, walking the floor at CES in Las Vegas.
Man, we are talented.
We are.
We can do this and that at the same time.
Dang, we are something special.
It's magic.
Wow, how about that? Now, CES used to stand for Consumer Electronics Show, but they've told us, no, that's not what it stands for. And if you ask the people at the CEA what CES stands for, they say CES.
CES stands for CES.
CES.
So it's CES, formerly known as the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, it makes you want to go, right?
I don't have a choice.
Let's be honest, Brian. I mean, if someone tells you, hey, Brian, you want to go to the Consumer Electronics Show, you're like, no, get away from you, weirdo. But if they tell you, you want to go to CES, you're like, I'm in.
Whoa, CES?
See?
Yes, you're right.
So, actually, CEA, I apologize. That was dead on. That was
perfect.
That's
just marketing brilliance.
It really is. It really is. I mean, go figure. Now, we're going to be bringing you to CES. In fact, we're going to bring you to CES Unveiled, which happens just a day and a half before the actual show opens, because there were some interesting things that I'm assuming we saw in the future.
Some very amazing things that we saw and did and happened.
Actually, this is one of those rare years where the press releases that we've been getting, because you've been getting them too.
I've been getting slammed with them,
Yeah, folks, by the way, if you ever sign up for CES, you will get 1,000 emails a day. Some of them actually look good. I think this is going to be one of those good CES years. There are always the years where it's like, 50 companies that have new iPhone cases. But this, actually, there's a couple of companies I've been watching, and if the product is even a tenth as good as what they have in their press release, I think it's going to be interesting.
Actually, the one I'm thinking of off the top of my head is the one that they say they can taste your skin for your blood glucose level, which would be great for me.
Can you imagine? I mean, at some point, I'm going to have to start testing for stuff too. But the people who have to do a prick test or stab test, whatever they call that, a needle test every single day, that I'm assuming that gets kind of annoying.
Your fingers start to hurt after a while. Right? Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's not good. Now, we've heard claims from companies before that they say that they've got this newfangled technology. And sometimes you just got to take it with a grain of salt. But I read that press release, and it comes from a company that actually does have some very good engineers, some people who are, they've got reputations, and they say they can taste your skin. So we're going to try it.
I'm willing to be a test subject, for sure. And this is actually, in the 5 years that I've worked at TWiT, this is the first time I'm going to, not the Consumer Electronics Show, but CES.
Well, this is the first time I'm going to CES.
Did it change just this year?
No, it looks
Okay.
Now, we're going to be bringing you to that in just a bit, but first, we had a bit of a glitch. We were supposed to review our laptops at the same time. I had the Spin 7, you had the Swift 7, and you had a little bit of an issue, problem.
I had a health breakdown called food poisoning.
You noticed that he looks like 20 years younger.
It's because I shaved. That was most of the weight, was just in the beard.
Oh, heavy beard, right?
Yeah, heavy beard.
Heavy beard. And the rest of us at the studio are now trying to get Brian's food poisoning because he was able to lose like 20 pounds in a week.
It's not my recommended way of losing weight, but I do appreciate the fact that you were able to cover without me.
Well, I was thinking we should do the tapeworm diet. The tapeworm eats for you, and you just remove the tapeworm, and that's like 30 pounds.
You're done, It's totally healthy.
Well, let's go ahead and get into this. Now, I reviewed my Spin 7, and yes. I fell in love. It's a $1,200 notebook convertible. It weighs 2.6 pounds. It lasts between 8 and 12 hours on a battery charge. It is one of the very rare notebooks that actually does pull off the convertible thing.
Because, right,
you know,
right.
There's a lot out there that can be used as a tablet, but you would never use them as a tablet. Or some that are really good tablets, but they're just jokes of notebooks. You had something a little bit different. We gave you the Swift 7 instead because it's more of the executive style of Ultrabook. It's not designed to be a convertible. It doesn't even have a touchscreen.
It is.
But let's now ask you, did you like it?
What did I think of the Swift 7? Well, I spent a lot of time with it, and I got to spend a little extra time with it because I got sick, which I was very appreciative. But like you said, this doesn't have a touchscreen. It's not... There's not a lot of frills to it. This is like a basic, this is a business laptop where if you want something that is super thin, I think it's the thinnest laptop.
That is the, in the world.
In the world, without sacrificing a lot of the features that you would just want from a good work laptop. And it looks really nice. I mean, my only complaint as far as appearance is that it is a bit
it's
of
a fingerprint magnet.
Fingerprint magnet. But
hold
this.
On, wait. Hmm? Let's just buff that right out. No, that's not buffing out.
I think you need, like, the chamois.
I think soap. The force I would need to buff this out right now might actually shatter the screen. That's,
well, it is Gorilla Glass.
That's a little bit better.
It's Gorilla Glass 4. So even though this thin, really thin top screen looks delicate, I have not dropped it, fortunately.
Let's not do that.
But I think it could take a little bit of an impact.
2.48 pounds, 0.39 inches thin. So, yeah, this is paper thin. That's a 13.3-inch 1080p IPS screen. And it, as you mentioned, it's Gorilla Glass 4. Seventh-gen Intel i5 7Y54 processor. That's a 1.2, 3.2 gigahertz for the turbo mode.
It's fast. I'm going to sign in real quick before I switch away.
Everyone knows your password is 1234.
Well, yeah, of course it is, but... I don't want someone to find my luggage and figure it out.
One of the other things I like about the Swift 7, and this is the same thing for the Spin 7, it's got this new thing that they're calling the Blue Shield.
Right.
Because a lot of these notebooks and your mobile devices, they're heavy on the blue light, which is not great for your eyes. It actually causes more eye strain.
And I would rather not admit it, but most of the time I spend on my laptop is sitting in bed right before I go to sleep. That's sending out those last few emails or watching, anime.
YouTube videos.
Typically Corgi videos. It's super snappy with the processor, 256 gig SSD. Like, never... ran into any hiccups when trying to play videos. I played a few games too. Like, I was able to play Civ 5, Minecraft, like, no problem. And the really neat thing about this laptop was it never got hot.
Right.
And there's
right.
no fans. So my everyday laptop is the MacBook Air, and you can hear it really struggle when it's doing some sort of graphical computing. This gets a little warm on the bottom, but never makes any noise.
This is one of the things that I am realizing about the executive product line. There's a lot of executive notebooks that have lower specs than what you might expect, but that's because they've realized, you know what, an i7 is overkill for what this is going to be used for. If it's going to be used by an executive, they're not going to be doing video editing on this.
No.
They're going to be doing web surfing. They're going to be doing word processing. They're going to be doing their email.
Right.
And what they want is they want something that will run all day, that won't get hot, that doesn't get loud. There's no fan in this that I have to worry about, spinning up to the sound of a jet engine.
Right.
And that's what they went for with the Swift 7. I remember at the beginning I said I would rather pay the $200 more mm-hmm. and get the Spin 7 over a Swift 7, but... I see where you're coming from.
Well, the build quality is excellent, and if they were to try and include a touchscreen on something like this, it would be a waste. It would be a waste because it's not a convertible. This is just a really good laptop for getting things done. As far as like keyboard travel and stuff, it's pretty typical for your really thin laptop. So if you've ever typed on a MacBook Air, or
I will say this is like the Spin 7 keyboard in that it's very short throw, but feels long.
Yeah, and I'm able to type on it all day long. And one of the nice things, too, is this is one of the nicest trackpads I've ever used on a Windows machine.
And really good palm rejection. So when you go to type, it's not as if you're going to be always wedging that thing. And there's something about an oversize in this format that just feels right. It doesn't. It's not too hard to click, but it's very responsive.
And it does. It does gestures really well too. I was able to do multi-finger gestures to swipe to different workspaces and stuff really easily. My only real complaint that I've had with this machine is that it's not a backlit keyboard.
Yeah.
And having used a backlit keyboard for however years now, it's kind of it's nice to have, and you miss it when you don't. But it's not like a. It's not like I wouldn't get.
It's not a deal breaker.
It's not a deal breaker. Yeah.
Now let's talk a little bit about connectivity. Of course, it's got 802.11 A, B, G, and AC. Also, multi-user MIMO. So it's you're covered, as well as Bluetooth 4.1. Right. But the real connectivity is this. If you go to the side shot there, Lawrence, these two little port the side shot. There you go. These two little ports are USB-C. So USB 3.1 Type C. That's the reversible type. That's for everything. Just like the Switch 7, that's connectivity plus power plus video plus everything.
Right. So you can plug power into either one of those. And something that Acer was nice enough to include in the box, if you're not fully switched over to USB-C yet, is a USB to USB and then a USB-C to HDMI.
We should mention, just like the Spin 7, this is not a display link chipset, so it's not going USB to video. This is using the alternate mode of USB-C, so I can run display port over USB-C. That's what this takes advantage of. So what that means is there's nothing in the way. It's completely lag-free. It is as if this has a full-size HDMI port, which is kind of nice.
And then just to round it all out, battery life was excellent, even when I was playing games. If I was just doing emails and typing, I would get like more than 10 hours easy. And then if I was playing games, it was still around 9 hours. So,
now, who do you think this is for? Because, again, I understand where they're placing this, but I love the Spin 7. I still love my Acer S7. This is still my notebook of choice until I find money to get a Spin 7. But who is the Swift 7 for?
The Swift 7 is for someone who takes their laptop everywhere. This is for someone who carries their backpack with them. Like me, if I'm riding my motorcycle or something, like every ounce kind of counts.
Yeah.
Because when you're starting to throw stuff in your backpack, it really gets weighed down. This is the laptop that you take with you when you're traveling. This is the laptop that you take really just to get things done, is the way I would put it.
Yeah, and again, that's executive style. So that is the Acer Swift 7. Lawrence, I think we have a link here for this. This is it's a $1,050 laptop. It's going to go down once the new year comes around. But if you are looking for an Ultrabook that really does everything you need to do, and you're not a super power user,
you're not looking for touchscreen, you're not looking for you're not going to be doing heavy video editing or something like that. You're just looking for a machine that you can rely on and maintain battery life. Then this is the one.
So and let me put my absolute. Customary dig here. If you want something that's like a MacBook Air but has a bigger screen, is thinner, is lighter, is more powerful, lasts longer in battery, then you're probably going to want to get this.
Yeah, but can you do this? Hold on. So
show me.
One finger lift that. That's what really probably one of my only other complaints.
Because the hinge is a little.
It's a little hard to get to the hinge.
Well,
because
it's
that's
so
minor,
light.
Right?
It's so light. That's the problem. So tell what you want to do is tell Acer, hey, can I have a 5-pound attachment on the bottom of the notebook?
They hold it down.
There you go. It's all fixed.
We I'm got sure Acer. They'd appreciate that.
Let's work on that next. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, when we come back, it's not just laptops. I've got a new phone.
Yeah.
I've got a new phone that it's got me excited because my phone, the phone I've loved that I've been using for 3+ years, starting to die.
Right.
And it was time for me to refresh. And OnePlus was nice enough to send me their newest. We've got a first look. I'm going to give you a full review in a couple of weeks after I use it at CES. But I'm impressed. I think you'll be impressed, too. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How. Hey, Brian.
What's up?
What do you think of when I say the company that's been with us the longest, that understands what we do, that equips us with the tools and the parts that we need to do our jobs?
I would say it's fair that we wouldn't be able to do a lot of the projects that we do without them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, of course, iFixit. Now, iFixit is the place we go. It's the source of all tools, the source of all parts, but more importantly, the source of community, of step-by-step manuals and repair guides that really make DIY DIY. This episode of Now is brought to you by them and their more than 22,000 free repair guides and 90,000 troubleshooting solutions. Now, the good people at iFixit.com are experts in consumer electronics repair. It's what they do all day. iFixit provides all the repair knowledge that you need for free. You've seen their videos. You've seen their teardowns. You understand that they get you. And they get what you need to do what you do. They provide you the repair knowledge and the tools that you need to do to get it done. They also sell a wide array of parts that help you do that. And they know that, what they're doing is to support you to become a better maker, a better fixer, a better DIYer. That means that they've done their ProTech toolkit in an all-new way. It's a completely reimagined design. It's just as rugged and portable as before, but they actually listen to their users, to their customers, to make it even better. It has a canvas case that, is far more durable and far more attractive. They've got hand-selected high-quality steel bits, a custom anodized aluminum driver handle. They've thought of everything, so you only have to worry about the fix. That means that it's going to include even more bits than before, 64 instead of 54, precision ESD-safe tweezers, including a pair of reverse tweezers, a wide variety of plastic opening tools and picks to safely work on tablets and smartphones, suction cups. In fact, the same suction cups that I use to open up the Microsoft Surface Studio that Leo so generously loaned to KnowHow for a while, that came out of our iFixit kit. They've also got metal spudgers and iFixit's own rubber-handed Jimmy Pry tool, so you can get in and out of these cases without destroying them, without marring them, without putting those little, screwdriver marks, the teeth that you have in the side of your poly case. Don't do that. Just do it the right way with iFixit. The ProTech toolkit is the last precision toolkit that you'll ever need, and that's why it's guaranteed, backed by a lifetime warranty. So, folks, here's what we want you to do. If you're a DIYer, if you are a maker, if you're a person who just likes to tinker, then you owe it to yourself to try iFixit. The people at iFixit.com never stop repairing, and with this toolkit under your belt, you won't either. Head over to iFixit.com/twit and use the code KNOWHOW at checkout to save $5 on your purchase of $10 or more. Even if you don't buy anything, you can still use their free repair guides, troubleshooting answer form, and other educational resources on their website anytime your tech has an accident. That's iFixit, geek for makers. And we thank iFixit for their support of KNOWHOW. Let's get back to the action. We've got a little something special, Brian.
That's now, right.
You've all seen this. This is the OnePlus One that I've had for 3+ years.
I'm impressed you're still going strong with that.
You know, I actually really believe in this. I don't want to replace my electronics too often. I'm not one of these people who I want to ditch
everything.
Have the
new thing every year. And it's worked for you, right? It's been solid.
Yeah, but it's not just a technology thing for me. I love technology, but it's also kind of a social justice thing for me. You know, if I'm replacing my gear all the time, that looks kind of bad. So if you go to the overhead, there you go. So this has been my OnePlus One with my fantastic password of 12345. No, I won't do that, actually. We're going to do this. How about that? Now, this works well. This phone has served me incredibly well over the years, but unfortunately, it's starting to hit the end of its lifespan. I'm finding out that the programs are loading up a lot more slowly, and I think the flash is just about dead. To be fair to OnePlus One, it's only because I've been using this as a mass storage device, and it doesn't like that. So,
I've got the
new hotness. Wait, hold on. We have to do that.
You can almost feel the glow coming off of it.
Look at this. This, my friends, is the new OnePlus 3T. Same company. Looks like the same size, the same format, but with some major differences in firepower and in the spec prawn. So let's go ahead and turn this thing on. I'm not going to do a password. Instead, I'm just going to do that. Hold on. Wait, there we go.
Now,
the cool thing about this is it's using the Oxygen OS. This is a 5.5-inch 1920 by 1080. It's a 401 PPI 16x9 AMOLED screen, and this is Gorilla Glass 4. It's a 2.3 quad-core Qualcomm Snapdragon 821, so it's really snappy. They have a 64-gigabyte model. I've got the 128-gigabyte model, starting at about $440, and it'll go up from there. So it's, very, very affordable. 6 gigabytes of LPDDR4 memory. It, again, runs Oxygen OS, a fingerprint sensor that you saw me just use. I got to show you this, because this I do like. And actually, OnePlus One is very good at giving you all the little doodads that you need to get your phone up and running, including, and this is overlooked by a lot of companies, the SIM removal tool.
That's very nice to have.
Thank you for doing that. So on the side here, notice this, Brian. There's something a little different. Ooh, wait. Let's turn it over here. What do you? Okay, that's where the SIM goes, right?
Yeah.
And that is where the other SIM goes.
Awesome.
So if you are one of these people who likes to travel,
we could use that in Berlin.
Right. Right. And you know, this way you're not losing your SIM. You just put in the second one. This is so. In fact, I have an idea for this. This is something I've been wanting to try for the longest time because T-Mobile has a really cheap data plan on one account, and you can also get a really cheap unlimited voice on another account. But if you try to get the unlimited data and the voice, it's like three times as much as doing them independently. But with this, not only can I put both SIMs, all of the settings inside of here, actually allow me to tell the phone when to use each SIM. So I can say only pull data from this SIM and only do voice from that SIM.
Oh, that is cool. I like that.
It's such a good idea. Thank you for doing that. That's, you know, it's one of these things that business travelers are going to absolutely love.
And I've seen dual SIM on phones before, but not in one caddy like that. That's cool.
It's really well done. Of course, it's got a 3,400 milliamp hour battery. That I haven't really run it down reasonably yet. This thing, it lasts forever. I've had it for 3 days, and I still was like a half power.
It doesn't feel like crazy thick either.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually thinner than the original OnePlus One, and it's lighter than the original OnePlus One.
That's really nice.
Yeah. And it's also got dash charging. Now, you do need this special charger, but I'm sure it's going to become more and more commonplace. Most chargers will put out between 5 and 10 watts. So that's 5 volts, 1 amp, or 5 volts, 2 amps, or even 2.1 amps.
Right.
This is 20 watts. So it's going to charge twice as fast as most other phones, which I find absolutely excellent. Now, it will still work on regular chargers. You're just not going to get the advantage
of dash charging. That's
precisely
pretty cool.
Front and rear cameras. Here's something that I'm going to like, and I'm sure all you Android fans who have suffered from having horrible cameras over the years will like this. They put the same sensor on the front and the back. Thank you.
Oh,
finally.
Nice.
You know, they don't cheap out on the front sensor. In fact, let's...
What is the sensor then?
Hold on, wait. Let me flip this over. Look at that.
Oh,
hi there. God. So this is running a 16 megapixel. It's a Sony IMX298. It's a 16 megapixel, 4K at 30 frames per second.
Wow.
And actually, if you go to the side view there, Lawrence. Oh, no, side view. There we go. Oh, look at that.
Pretty.
So pretty.
That is a nice screen.
Yeah. 4K at 30 frames per second. You can do slow-mo. 720 will get you 120 frames per second. Now, you're going to like this. It has both optical and electronic image stabilization.
Oh, nice.
So if you don't like the jitters, that you can do that. Also, it's got a USB-C and combo audio port, so you can use it for multiple functions. It's available in gunmetal or soft gold, and as I mentioned before, this thing's going to start at about $440.
Which, for that list of specs, you saw how much the pixels are going for now.
Yeah.
And I don't think the specs are too far beyond this.
There are some great phones out there. In fact, if you go to the overhead, I just want to show you something really quick. Overhead. There we go. Okay. So let's go to a program that both of these phones currently have, which would be Pokemon Go. All right. So this is the OnePlus One. This is the 3T. We're going to kick these off at the same time. So this is the 3T. Let's find out how much. Okay.
Oh, you're already in.
Huh.
Getting still, ready to Pokemons.
Waiting over here.
Oh.
Oh, Asin. It's okay. So now I'm playing. Yay.
That's the difference between Pikachu and not.
Oh my God! Look at this. It's still loading.
What's the ad?
Hi there.
What's that? Then
yeah, I should not do this on the show, but
spin it up. I'm gonna be impressed.
I'm doing this upside down and to the side.
Dodged you. All right, let the Pokemon
Master. You gotta do it upright. There we go.
Boom! He's so weak.
I just exited it out. Wait, no, come back. He's still there. Come on, bring it, little Venom Gnat.
Nice. That's
see
the
when you actually have it upright, it actually works a whole lot better. Wait, what are we doing again? Oh, that's right, we're doing a review of the 3T. Oh, you're gonna get out of here.
F that.
But what I'm trying to say is, I mean, it is measurably faster. Nice. It's not just a little bit faster. This is so much of a better phone in terms of battery, in terms of features, in terms of just pure speed and the quality of the screen. They've done it again.
So you're saying it's worth the wait then?
Absolutely worth the wait. And if you're like me and you don't buy phones on contract, I don't buy any phones on contract because I like using the prepaid plans, the OnePlus 3T is an absolute good buy.
Right.
And I'm going to be able, after CES, I'm going to give people a full review of how this held up to the rigors of CES. If it could handle CES and all the things we do.
And last all day. Yeah.
And last all day, then it definitely gets my buy. But for right now, this is a very interesting product. I'm going to be watching it for the rest of the year.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, we are here, but we're also not here.
In Vegas.
We're in Vegas right now.
At CES.
So I think what we should do is we should do a little time warp thing and send us off to CES in Las Vegas. I get it. You're smart. You know how to be a consumer. You assemble your own computers. You create your own VR rig. You understand what you need to do to live in a digital world. But where are you when it comes to cord cutting? If you're like most people, you understand that there are services that get you most of the way. But what do you do for news? What do you do for sports? What do you do when you need to know what's happening locally? Well, that's when you turn to Mohu. I'm speaking with John Crable at Mohu, who's going to explain why their antennas are the perfect thing for the digital cord cutter. John, what is this?
This is Airwave, and you've come to the right place for what you just talked about. Airwave is the world's first wireless TV device. We've actually built a wireless antenna that combines OTA and OTT content on any device, any streaming box, your phone, tablet. And it's a special antenna in that it actually changes and adapts to the signal that's coming in to eliminate pixelation and get you the best signal possible. It's really unprecedented.
Now, most of our audience understands OTA. They understand that there are high-definition signals, especially if you live in a dense, you know, urban area, that you can get right off the air, just like the old-fashioned TVs. But for a younger crowd, they may not know that. What do you do? How do you allow me to access that content on my network or anywhere I might be?
Well, so because we have an app that'll work on any device, you would watch your OTA content just like you would watch Hulu or Netflix. So that's what's really cool. And the other piece is that this is wireless, so you can place the device anywhere in your house that you get the best OTA signal without being constrained by the wires.
And that's been very important to me because I've built a few of these devices, and getting that antenna cable to where it needs to be without introducing interference has always been a challenge.
Absolutely.
Now, but that does lead into the next question, and that is my audience, being very tech savvy, yeah, they know that you can build something like this. You could get a home run with a cable card, or you could get a Synology NAS and a USB dongle to create some sort of OTA DVR. What makes your solution, in your mind, better or more efficient?
Well, you absolutely can do that, and we are antenna geeks. We love doing that sort of thing, but we also just want to watch television and be entertained. This is simple, it's straightforward, it's done for you. And you're really not going to get a better wireless to antenna situation than what we've done with Airwave.
John, I have to ask this because there is an obvious parallel here to Aereo. Yes. It's the company out of New York that got a lot of us excited. It was a great idea, make a huge array of thousands, tens of thousands of antennas, and then sell access to those over-the-air antennas.
That's right.
Well, great idea. Yeah. They got sued out of existence.
That's right.
What makes this different? Why won't the broadcasters come after you?
We're not retransmitting their signal. We are doing a private performance of the signal that comes into their home, and that's completely legal. We're really good on that. The other situation was unfortunate. There was some gray area there. We are free TV everywhere, completely legal.
Now, John, if they are sold, or maybe they want to find out a bit more information, where can they go to find out more about Mohu's new antenna? Where can they go to find out about pricing and availability? Where can they go to find out how they're going to get their OTA fix?
Well, GoMohu.com is always going to have the latest information about our products. But I'm really excited to announce that the world's largest consumer electronics retailer, Best Buy, is announcing a exclusive on Airwave starting in May through Labor Day. So we're super excited about that.
John, thank you very much. I'm actually very much looking forward to testing one of these in our lab. I've been looking for a way to get OTA for the longest time that doesn't involve a kludge. This might be it.
We've got it.
Folks, if you are looking to be a true cable cutter, maybe you need some Mohu. If you have diabetes, then you know the horror of the prick test. That's right. You need to poke yourself over and over again to make sure that your blood sugar is where it needs to be. Well, what if I told you that there was a technology, a way for you to avoid that prick forever? Well, there is, and it comes from PK Vitality. This little module is all the tech you need to make sure your blood sugar is where it should be. I'm speaking with Min Lee, the CEO of the company, who's going to explain how they came about this technology. Min, I have to say, I was a little skeptical. I've heard claims like this, where we have some magical technology that can test your blood just by seeing your forehead. You've actually come up with a very interesting, novel approach to the blood test. Tell me how this works.
So first, blood sugar, I believe, will be a thing of the past because we test glucose level but without blood at all. In fact, what you're launching is K-Track, so it's a tracker. But on the back of the tracker, you insert the capsule, which is that. And inside that, you've got a lot of technology. So once you press the K-Track on your wrist, this will enter into contact with your skin. It will absorb a tiny drop of interstitial fluid, which is just below the surface of the skin. And this fluid will be analyzed by the capsule. We have biosensor in it. And the biosensor will transform that into an electrical signal, and the signal will be passed to the watch, and the result of your glucose level, not blood sugar level, your glucose level will be displayed on the watch. So for the diabetics, no more pricking your finger, no more blood, no more stigmatizing product, just a tracker. You can do it whenever you want, when you are starting to do sports, before a meal, during at work, during a meeting. You can do it as many times you want. And before, you are not doing it a lot because it was very painful and very time consuming. You will do it the number of times you need to do it so you have a better life and less health problems.
And that, for me, that was the secret sauce. When I heard that there is a needle, but it's not penetrating the skin enough to touch the nerves. And that means that I can take that interstitial fluid without any pain. There's a little bit of pressure, but no pain. And I don't have to do that again and again and again. And for the people who are diabetics, they understand that if I have a way to test myself without pain, I'll do it more regularly. I'll do it when I should.
Yeah, that's true. Pain is the first problem, not the only one, but it's the first problem. And we are removing that aspect by providing a painless, blood-free product, because that's what the market wants. And that's why we worked a lot on that to bring the product to the market. It's not yet on the market. We'll starting medical certification anytime now. And we'll hope to be on the market next year.
And I was talking to one of your representatives who was saying that because you are actually extracting a drop of interstitial fluid, it is as accurate as a prick test. It is a prick test. It just doesn't feel like it.
In fact, today, we'll see when it will be in mass production. But today, we have even more accurate readings thanks to the technology built in than blood test. But whatever the precision, what is interesting is you don't need to calibrate at all. It works all the time. So it's truly a game changer for a life changer for diabetics.
All right. Now, I understand that this is not just for glucose monitoring. You've built this system to be modular. So I can use a particular cell if I want to monitor my glucose. But you also offer an athletic version of this product. Tell me about the K-Track Athletic.
So K-Track Athlete, in fact, it's globally the same hardware on the watch side. You just not wear it on the wrist, but on the armband, because the athletes, they will have their Garmin or Suunto or Polar watch, okay? We are not competing with those. Where you just put the armband, you put not this one, but it's a blue one. So, you know, in Nespresso machine, you've got different colors. Here we have different colors. In fact, it's the same thing. We absorb a tiny drop of interstitial fluid, but the biosensor in it are different, and we're tracking not glucose, but we're tracking lactic acid. And lactic acid, okay, it's very brand new. There are very few athletes which are following that up, but it's the closest biomarker to the muscle activity and muscle depletion. So most people, they follow their heart rate. Few people follow their VO2 max, for those who know. And very, very few professional athletes follow their lactic acid. It's not because it's not interesting. It's the most interesting biomarker. It's because it's painful. It takes time. When you are doing cycling, you don't want to stop on the middle of the road, take your prick your finger, etc. So today, all the professional coaches we are working with have said that it will be really something that will that they will use with all their athletes, whether it's explosive sport or it's endurance sport. It will be used a bit differently, but it will be used by all the athletes they are following.
That's absolutely fantastic. And of course, since you are taking that interstitial fluid, the sky is the limit for the number of modules you can make. You can make a module to test for basically anything. Anything that can be measured in the blood, you can measure with this. Now, let's get back to the glucose tracking, because I know that's what's going to interest our audience the most. They're going to want to know pricing and availability. I know it's going under testing right now, but there's a lot of people out there who are paying $60, $70, $100 a month for their test strips. What am I going to be paying for the device, and then what will I pay every month for a new module?
So the K-Track glucose, the watch, will cost $150, okay. Let's round it up. And the capsule, the glucose capsule, will cost $99 per month, so every 30 days. But you have an unlimited number of measurements that you can make during that period.
And of course, once you do get FDA approval, there's a good chance that that will get covered by insurance.
We'll have to work on it. We are not at this stage, but definitely we believe that insurance company will be very interested, because it will not only... we believe that there are a lot of people which are not measuring well or not measuring at all that will come to a better measurement or start to measure, and we will have indirect benefits. So because people are testing more, starting to test, they will have less health consequences, and that the health consequences that are very, very expensive for insurance companies.
Min, this could be the game-changing technology of CES unveiled for so many, so millions of people out there who might be watching the show. If they want to find out more about PK Vitality, more about the PK track, more about where this is in the certification process, where should they go?
They should go on www.pkvitality.com, and you can just subscribe, and we'll keep you informed about the project progress.
Min, thank you so very much for speaking with us, and good luck with the certification. If you are suffering from any sort of disease, diabetes, low oxygen, whatever it may be, maybe you need to stop by PK Vitality and stop letting the world be filled by so many pricks. All right, we're back. Now, Brian.
Wow, that was crazy.
Yeah, crazy, right? And that thing that we did, that was like, wow.
Those things that we saw, that happened.
When it did that stuff.
I didn't think it was going to work like that, but it did.
Yeah, well, we've got all of that stuff that we just did and far more coming in the next episode of Know How. It is done entirely from CES. We're going to take you onto the floor, show you some of the best stuff that we found, and it's all coming for you next.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it totally happened.
Indeed. Now, folks, we know that this was a lot of information, and we're going to make it very easy for you to find out about the Swift 7, about my OnePlus 3T, and about CES. All you have to do is go to our show page. And Brian, where do they find that?
Oh, you can find that at twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find all the links to the things we talked about, but you'll find a way to download or subscribe if you haven't already. And also go through our prior episodes if you haven't seen any.
Indeed. And that's not the only place that you can find us. You can find us on our socials at Google Plus. Just go to Google Plus, look for Know How. There's an approval process because we have to keep out all the spam accounts. But once you're in, you get access to over 10,000 Kitas. That's our know-it-alls, people who breathe and live this stuff. If you've got a project idea that you want to give to other people, if you want a project idea from the community, or if you just want to post videos and pictures of the projects that you're most proud of, please put them there. In fact, that's where we find material for Know How, right, Brian?
That's right. That's where we come up with feedback, or projects to show off, our crash videos, or not switching the camera, or it's okay because you know what?
You keep talking. I'll just
the next thing I was going to go to is that if you want to find out what we're doing behind the scenes, or you want to follow us or ask us questions directly, you can do that on Twitter, and I am at @cranky_hippo.
And you're going to find me at @PadreSJ.
And
we've got one more member, and he's learning the TriCaster, folks. So don't hate on him too much.
He's doing good.
He's doing good. Lawrence, you want to tell the folks where they can find you?
I don't actually.
Oh, he's definitely picked up where Alex left off.
Yeah. He is Alex Grumple. Mm-hmm. Is it Grumple? I can't remember.
Lawrence Grumple?
Yeah.
Actually, it's Alan Smithy.
Smithy.
Oh, wow. That is an Alex reference.
He just disowned all of our production.
I don't blame him.
Now, we will be back at our regular time this coming Thursday, but until then, I am Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
go get those laptops and cell phones and see us at CES. I don't know how to end that. We'll just do it like that.